This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Patrick Tucker, the technology editor of Defense One. We're looking to the battle space of the future. That certainly describes having your supply lines cut by drones, but it also describes climate, severe climate change. And I learned that the military, especially the Army, is now looking at cooling vests to answer the fact that we can anticipate parts of the battle space in future will be unacceptable to human beings under normal conditions, let alone combat conditions. Patrick, this testing that's going on right now, have you tried on a cooling vest? Are they ready to issue these things, or are they still in the development stage?
Well, there are like commercial versions of these that folks in Japan actually use. So we know that they exist. It's possible to have them. But basically, according to Richard Kidd, he's the Deputy Assistant Defense Secretary for Environment and Energy Resilience. The bottom line is that the number of extreme heat days that just the globe experiences, but also that the U.S. military experiences, both in places where it has to operate, Middle East, obviously Africa, obviously, and we expect that there'll be operations in Africa for the rest of this century. But also where it trains, Florida, North Carolina, these places are going to experience a greater number of extreme heat days, and you just can't operate outside in these conditions. You're like cognitively, physically, it's just not there. So while the rest of the world kind of debates whether or not climate change is happening, the military doesn't have that luxury. And across administrations, this has been something that the military has recognized, that human-induced climate change is real, and they have an obligation to prepare for that battlefield. And so what Kidd said that I thought was sort of remarkable is that, listen, we have to use technology to own this new situation, to own a future of higher heat days in the same way we used advanced technology to create night vision, which allowed for tremendous operational superiority during, for instance, of course, the first Gulf War, when the use of night vision really emerged as a key advantage and capability among, of course, some others. So the ability to operate in extreme heat conditions is a necessity and something that might be a distinguishing feature for the U.S. military. So, yes, they are looking at a whole lot of new potential technologies. Heat vests are one vest that basically cool the operator while they're out there. New types of shelters that will give U.S. Operators a place to, you know, find relief from the heat where their opponents might not. And, of course, you're looking at a whole number of other contingencies, too, like the effects of extreme heat on electronics, which are already very hot. And you're looking at that alongside the challenge of decreasing their overall sort of output of carbon, of CO2. But what the military also recognizes, and Kidd was very emphatic on this, neither this military nor, one that might come in a different administration or really any other, is the U.S. military is not going to sacrifice advantage in order to meet CO2 goals. That's not the priority. The priority is always going to be winning and decreasing CO2 or increasing efficiency has to be subordinate to that goal of being more operationally effective. But they're acknowledging the reality of recently a Harvard study out this week just talked about the rising number of extreme heat days. And so the military recognizes that if you can own that, if you can own those days, if you can own those environments better through technology, then you're going to have an advantage over an opponent that refuses to recognize.
Final 30 seconds. They're also hybridizing their vehicles, you report. Is that underway now?
It is underway. Yes, they are trying to hybridize these vehicles. And they're looking at a number of other things, too, including small deployable nuclear reactors for forward operating bases. So some little, hilltop tent town on the, on a mountaintop in the Afghanistan, it was, but, in the future, someplace else might have a nuclear reactor attached to it. And part of that is because, again, we were talking about logistics, the vulnerability there. If you can run a resilient installation that doesn't need drums of fuel dropped from helicopters, you're going to be doing a lot better off when that logistics challenge comes to you and that drone overhead is targeting your line. You're going to be better off the less stuff you carry over it.
Patrick Tucker about the battle space of the future. He's at Defense One. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.